Well, wonderful. We're nearly there. 3 days to go. Fantastic. There's the celebration, the food, the holiday. There's the being with friends and family. But of course, deep down, we all know those things. They're not really what Christmas is about. Christmas is really about the TV and the opportunity to watch 7 days of absolute drivel without having to justify any of it. It's a great time of year, and I hope that you have a very relaxing time. If you've been working hard during the year, as I'm sure you had, it's lovely to have some switch-off time. But of course, for many people, it is a terribly difficult time of year when they are reminded of painful memories of the past, of relationships that have gone wrong. It's a time to reflect on what might have been in life, and it's a time of great sadness for those who are bereaved. For many people, Christmas is the most lonely time of year. And I guess that at such a time, what we really want is to know that someone is looking after us. Well, this evening we're going to look at the most famous verse in the whole Bible, which tells us exactly how at Christmas time God has looked after us, is looking after us, and will forever look after us when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we learn from John 3:16 that God has taken care of us. Let me read the verse to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The big question for many people is not does God exist, but does God care? After all that's happened in Christchurch over the last 3 years, does God care for us? With the situation in your own life and the difficulties that some of you face, does God care for you? And when we look abroad and we look around the world and we see the meltdown in Syria and the potential meltdown in the Sudan and the Congo and in Thailand, does God care for this world which he made? And the verse assures us that God does care, 100% cares, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. In other words, God didn't just sit back in heaven kicking back while things on the earth disintegrated and went wrong. He has come to earth in the person of his Son Jesus to get involved. He's not distant or far off or unreachable. In Jesus, God has come down to walk on the earth. And it was as if God shrank himself down into the person of a man to come to earth in a category that we could understand. For we know people, we can talk to people, we can listen to people, we can have a relationship with people. And so God made himself a person so that we might be able to know him and consequently hear from him and talk to him and relate to him. He made himself a man so that we can know what he's like. I guess it seems so funny, doesn't it, to think of who it was that was lying in the manger that first Christmas time. I don't know if you've had that experience of going to a hospital to see a newborn baby, and then you suddenly find yourself short of words when it comes to the critical moment. You know, it can be tremendously exciting. Obviously, it is for the parents, and I've been there myself, and it's a great moment. And suddenly, you can find yourself suddenly stuck for words. And I've been there visiting friends, and there is the precious child who's just been born. And suddenly, you realize it's over you to say something. And I'm just kind of, wow, what a baby. You know, that kind of thing. And as we look into the manger, the feeding trough where Mary and Joseph lay their little newborn, you can say the same. But this time, with conviction, what a baby. What a baby. The thought that God had come to earth as a baby, just a foot long. It's incredible that he would do such a thing. And the thing is this, that God so loved the world and so loved you and me that he gave his only Son. I don't know what it would take for you to give your child away. Don't answer that one, parents. Particularly if you've only got one child. To learn that God gave his one and only Son, don't you think that he must care for you? That you must be terribly special to God for him to give up his one and only Son? He didn't have a million, he had one. And yet he was willing to give up Jesus for us. And so God has taken care of us, has shown that he's committed to us. He's come down to experience what life on earth is like. God knows what it is to suffer unjustly. He knows what it is to suffer financial hardship. He knows what it is to suffer bereavement. Here is the God who understands us better than we understand ourselves. And the big question is, how does he show his care for us? And that's the second thing. God has cared for it. God has taken care of us. Secondly, God has taken care of our sins. One of those awful Christmas Day experiences is to open the gifts that have been given in the presence of the giver while their eyes are bearing down on you. There they are, staring at you, and there is the terrible pressure to find the right smile at the right moment. You take the wrapping off, you hold up the gift, and you say, "Oh, Aunt Maud, that is a beautiful tea cozy that you have given me." Unwanted presents can be tricky like that. In fact, I had a friend who was more or less shameless about it. He had a box named Charity and a box for keeps, and as he unwrapped the presents, he just put one in one box and one in the other box and just divided them up, and that was how it is. Now, for many people, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christmas present they didn't ask for, they didn't really want, and they didn't know what to do with. It seems a bit rude to throw him out with the wrapping, and so they put him away in a cupboard to bring him out once a year. Because, and I think the reason they do that is because they've never heard why it is that he came. And so they've never been able to make the connection between Jesus and between them and why he matters to them. And if you're here tonight struggling to make the same connection, you're well disposed, you think it's a nice story, you think Jesus is a good guy, you probably like his book, but you don't really understand why he came, it may be that that's the reason it's not quite clicking into place. And I want to try and help you through this verse, because the verse explains why he came. It tells us that God has taken care of our sins. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." God so loved the world, that is, so loved this world. It's speaking not so much of the world in its bigness, but the world in its badness. For what kind of world did God send his Son to? Was it one that really loves God and wants him to be at the center? No, on the contrary, it is a world that has pushed him out. It's a broken world. It's a world that bears all the scars of having rejected God. Because when you think about it, that's how you and I have actually lived life. We have rejected God. We have pushed him out to the side. Maybe in a polite way, maybe in a way that makes us still have plenty of friends on earth, but as far as God is concerned, we've pushed him out to the wings of our lives. Now that attitude is called sin. And to say it is rude to God is the understatement. Let me put it like this. You imagine a teenager who goes out one day, doesn't say anything, and for 3 days is off with their friends. Then returns with said friends, walks in the front door, mum and dad are there having a meal at the table, doesn't say anything, opens the fridge, "Thanks very much, we'll just empty all of that, take it upstairs, into the bedroom, turn on the music, volume 10, and so it carries on and on and on. Now the only question is, how long will the parents put up with it for? In their house, for their child to behave like that. And when it comes to us, the only question for us is, how long will God put up with us for? When we're in his world saying, "Thank you very much, I'll just gobble this, I'll gobble this, I'll gobble this, I won't talk to you, I won't have any interaction with you, I'll just do my own thing and put the volume on 10 and live my life that way." The only question is, how long will he put up with it for? It's called sin, and it is rude to God, and God takes it seriously. He takes us seriously. We matter to him. And that is why it angers him, that we should treat him in such a way. Now, what we learn here is that God has taken care of our sins. We learn that he so loved the world that he sent his Son in order to take people's sins on himself, in order to take them away from us. Some years ago, in November 1997, there was a cargo ship, the Green Lily, which got into trouble in treacherous seas shortly after Levia Harbour in Scotland. The lifeboats were unable to rescue the crew in such mountainous waves, and so the winchman from the air sea rescue helicopter operating from the Shetland Islands performed an heroic rescue. The man who was at the centre of it was a man called Bill Deacon. He was 27 years in the service. he lowered himself onto the deck of the stricken vessel to swap places with each of the crew. So he's lowered himself down, got the rope, tied it around one of the crew, got them winched up to safety. One by one, in driving wind and rain, he tethered each of 10 crew to the winch to be lifted to safety. And then before he himself could be saved and put back on the helicopter, he was swept off the deck by a huge wave and his body washed up on the shore a few days later. And for amazing sacrificial bravery in the rescuing of 10 lives, Bill Deacon was posthumously awarded the George Cross. Now, I think such a sacrifice as that helps us to begin to understand what Jesus Christ was doing when he died on the cross. He came down from heaven to earth that first Christmas time to perform a rescue on those whose lives are in danger. For if we stay in our sins, butting against God, one day there will only be one winner. And so God sent his Son to rescue us. Jesus came to die for other people's sins, to take them so that they may not have to take them and the punishment that goes with them. In other words, here is the great love of God. God saw that we were in dire straits. He saw that we could do nothing to save ourselves. And he took action, real action, so that we might be saved. He sent the most precious thing that he had. And God did it not because he had to, but because he chose to. Not because he needed to, but because he wanted to. He wanted to rescue you and me so that we might come back to know him, not be punished for our sins, and might enjoy eternity with God forevermore. And I think this is so different from what some people imagine. They think that somehow Jesus came to wag the finger at them, to give them another 10 rules for living life, and that kind of thing, to tell them they've done wrong. But it says here in verse 17 that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God has taken care of us. God has taken care of our sins. And then thirdly, God has taken care of our future. Listen to how verse 16 goes on. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The verse assumes that we are perishing, and indeed we are, for actions have consequences. I remember a friend of mine telling me the day that he learnt this for himself. He was an 18-year-old, and he said to his dad that the car keys were lying on the table, "Would you mind if I borrowed your car, Dad?" He said, "No, that's fine, you borrow the car." So he borrowed the car, and then as he described it, it was one of those incidents when, you know, he's driving along, and in the way that these things happen, a brick wall suddenly leapt out in front of him and hit the side of the car. And so he got back home afterwards, and he said, "Oh, so sorry, Dad, this is terrible, and, you know, this has happened, I'm just really sorry." And he said, "I just apologise, lots and lots and lots." And I thought Dad would say, "That's all right, son, I'm just really pleased that you're not hurt." And what he actually heard was, "That's okay, I'm really glad that you're not hurt, and now you probably need to go and get a job so that you pay for it." He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I said you'll probably need to go and get a job so that you can pay for the damage you've just done to the car." He said it was the first time I'd learnt that actions have consequences. And so it is for us and God. That is, God takes us seriously. And our sins against him provoke him. If I say that I am God and God is God, in the end, there is only going to be one winner. I mean, do I really think I can beat him at his own game? And on the day that I meet him, what am I going to say if I am still opposing him? Can you imagine what it would be like to stand before God, having spent 70 years saying no to him, and then to say, "I'm terribly sorry, God, I didn't realize it was important that I came back to you"? He will say, "What do you mean you didn't realize it was important? I sent my Son to earth. Was that not a clue?" "Oh, I didn't realize that, God. I just thought that was to give us Christmas." You say, "What are you talking about? I sent my Son Jesus to rescue you. Was that not important to you?" And you see, we won't have a leg to stand on. Now, the passage tells us that naturally we persist with the problem and we don't want to sort it out. And I just want to alert you to this. If you've come here tonight and you enjoy being here, and then you're tempted to go away and put it on the back burner and put Jesus in the cupboard for another year. Just listen to this, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. What he's saying is we are naturally resistant to doing anything about Jesus. We lack incentive and motivation. He's offering us forgiveness. He's offering us to put us right with God. He's offering us to save us forever. He's offering to take our sins. It's a fantastic deal. And yet for many people, they don't want to get close to him, and they don't want him to get close to them. They don't want God to stick his oar into their lives in that kind of way. And certainly in my experience, those who hear about Jesus Christ but decide to not to become Christians, the reason they decide not to become Christians is not because they don't think it's true, because on the whole they can see it probably is true, and it's not because they don't believe it, because often they do believe it. It's because in the end, they don't want to change. And so we don't want Jesus to cause us to have to change in that way. Now I want to warn you against that with the corresponding promise that's given. Verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he's done has been done through God. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. That is, if we see these things are true, that we are sinners who need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior, then we will take action. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus is offering us exactly what we need. He's offering us peace with God. He's helping us not to perish forever, but to have eternal life. And the question I want to put to you this Christmas is, will you accept his offer of peace? You may know of Hiro Inada. He was the Japanese soldier who was dropped on Lubang Island during the Second World War. And not hearing of the Japanese surrender in 1945, he kept on fighting a one-man warfare. He ate coconuts, he caught fish, and he kept going year after year. The Japanese knew that he was still out there, and they dropped leaflets on the island. He thought it was enemy propaganda. And then on March the 10th, 1974, he was finally persuaded when his old commander revisited the island and met him, and he was finally persuaded to give up the war. And that's what some people are like. They carry on having war with God year after year after year after year, when actually God has done everything to make peace with them. He's done everything to make peace with you. So the question is, why are you carrying on making war with him? Why are you carrying on making a war that can't be won, that in the end we will lose? Now just notice lastly how easy it is to get fixed with God. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, in Jesus. In other words, it doesn't say whoever's lived a really perfect life. It doesn't say whoever's lived a really good life. It doesn't say whoever's been absolutely regular at church and loves praying. It just says whoever believes in Jesus. In other words, this Christmas, God is offering you a present, gift wrapped with a bow, and it's called peace with him through Jesus. And all we have to do to accept is take off the wrapping and say, yes, I want to receive that present. And I want to ask you tonight, would you be such a person who says yes? Would you say yes to that? Or will you say, no thanks, it's not for me? Well, in a group this size, I would imagine there's three types of people. There'll be many people who at some stage in the past have said, yes, that is for me. And I want to say to you, I hope that this Christmas time you rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ more than you ever have before. And whatever else is going on in your life and whatever difficulties and hardships you face, I hope that your joy in the Lord Jesus is greater now than it ever has been. Then there may be a second group who say, well, I don't know a whole lot about this. I've never really looked into it and don't quite know what to make of it. You were given on the way in a little pamphlet that had a beige card on the inside. And one of the boxes that are on that card is, I'd like information about Christianity Explored courses. Christianity Explored is a course that we run a few times a year. It runs for about 6 weeks, midweek evenings, like six Wednesday evenings. There's no cost to it, to coming. and there's no pressure and there's no commitment to do anything about it. It's simply an opportunity to find out more. I guess there is a cost of a sort, and that is the time that it takes to do it. 6 Wednesday evenings, it's a bit of a commitment. But I want to say to you, why not actually invest something just to see if you think there is anything in this? Because you may find that it was the best investment you ever made. There's no pressure to do anything afterwards if you don't want to. It's your life, up to you to do what you want. But why not give yourself a chance? And then there may be one or two others of us who know, actually, I think this is true. I know it's true. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus died for me, and I've never done anything about it. And I want to give you a chance now to say yes and to say, this is for me. And what I'm going to do is read out a prayer, and if you want to make it your own, I'll read it slowly, phrase by phrase. You echo it in your thought, in your head to God, silently, and he will hear you. So if you want to make it your own, then just repeat it silently in your head to God after me, and he will hear you. So let's all bow our heads, and let's pray. Dear God, I admit that I have sinned against you. Thank you so much that you sent your one and only Son to die for me. Please forgive me my sins, and please help me from now on to live with Jesus as my King. Amen. Do look up there. And I want to say, if you felt able to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then today is a good day for you. And this Christmas is the best Christmas you'll have ever had, because you came here at war with God and you leave at peace with him. You came here unforgiven, you leave forgiven. And it doesn't get better than that.